between the ledger, a map, and your discussions from 10-1-25. That should be sufficient for you to do well. And then test 3-1-25, the advance. The written probably comes to tell you to be in your background. The purpose of the lecture is to cover the background material that you need about it, there's a 1-to-1 ratio of a zillion sodium ions to a zillion chloride ions. When we write NaCl, we're really writing what we call an empirical formula that's giving the basic ratio of one ion to another. One of the things that characterizes these compounds is that they are held together very strongly in place through electrostatic forces. So that if you take a typical salt and you put it in on your kitchen stove and you turn the heat up all the way, the most it's going to do is pop around in that pan, make perhaps some noise, but it's not going to liquefy. Not with the source of heat that we have in our typical kitchens. Why? Because it takes about 1,000 degrees centigrade of a heat source to get these ions flowing past one another. So one of the things you should begin to suspect when you go into a lab and see a bottle containing a solid room temperature is that it may be an ionic compound. It's one of the characteristics of an ionic compound, the fact that they tend to be solids at room temperature. Now, one of the things we need to do, and this is on that worksheet that you may have picked up. Again, I will put the worksheets for the new topics within the lecture on stool in each of the aisles. You can also download the lecture handout from the web page. And also, when you have completed the lecture on a new topic, you can go to If I am, in family four B, in I, for example, medium, I will be plus two, plus three, or plus four. Maximum charge is the same as the family number. And that is true of all these elements in families three B through seven B, plus two, all the way up to the family number. So we do one more. MN, 90, in family seven B, can be plus two, three, four, five, six, or seven. Now, the HP group. I don't want to get into, but I will say, 90% of the time, if you get plus two, it's going to be correct. Okay? You will get into the details of that, and he asks questions about those details if you're getting them on first, but not in this course. Okay? Now, sometimes you're going to have a cation combined with other than an element as a non-metal. So, for example, the usual thing is the metal. For example, we just saw sodium ion in family 1A plus 1 with Cl in family 7A. So, this is minus 1. So, we simply write NaCl. And the typical names of salts are to take the name of the metal, sodium, the name of the non-metal, but change the ending of the non-metal to IDE. So instead of chlorine, it becomes chloride, sodium chloride. Occasionally, you're going to see a cation combined with an anion, where the anion has more than one metal. You are to assume that when you see a group of non-metals clumped together, that they are an ion themselves, and the non-metals are bonded together, okay, and they exist as one unit. You can figure out the charge of something like NO3 by simply going again to the periodic table. Nitrogen is in family 5. Now, because it is bonded to oxygen, you put it in the metal roll. So we go family 5, it's the positive charge, it's plus 5. Oxygen is in family 6. It's acting as a non-metal, so it is minus 2. So if we have plus 5 for nitrogen, minus 2 for oxygen, there's 3 of them, that's minus 6. Plus 5 and minus 6 gives us the negative 1. You can figure them out using the periodic table, but it's up to you to practice these arrangements. Okay? And in this case, it will have a different ending than I, and typically when you see oxygen, it's going to be 8. know where it is on the periodic table, and on the exam, so we'll always get a periodic table. Here's aluminum, over in room 3A, so it's plus 3. Formula has to be AlCl3, neutral. All right, look at your worksheet, we're going to do a little demonstration that has to do with that. And that involves taking a water source, so this would be water in Venice. And we're going to put a salt of a heavy metal into that water source. So there goes a little mercury chloride on one side of that pond or lake or whatever it is. Our official environment. And on the other side, we're going to put some potassium iodide. The amazing thing that occurs in the water is that these salts that take a 1,000-degree minimum of heat to start melting immediately start actually coming apart and going into solution. So what happens is precipitation. And I will say this, we're not aiming this week to get that far in this lab, just parts one and two. Why? Well, we know it's very confusing and hectic so far. Why? Because the university starts classes in the middle of the week. And so we had some labs meeting during our first half week of school, and we had an early start, and others that didn't start till that first school, technically the school. So therefore, we're letting you give some time this week for all the labs to catch up, so we'll be together. So we want you to get through part one and two of this, but that means that you should also practice preparing for discussion, which will not be held for another week. I'm worried that I'm not doing the discussion, but each team is going to be assigned to questions one, two, or three. And questions one, two, or three are based on parts one or two, which you will complete. So as soon as you complete parts one and two, try and hand back your discussion questions, prepare it, which means manipulate the data, show it to your instructor, get feedback on it, and then you have some free time. Okay, so we found that that will go on the whole time, so that's fine. Okay, so what is part one? In part one, you look at a reaction where there's a precipitating form, and you have to experimentally prove what is the precipitate. Now, in order to answer that question, you do need to pay attention to the information provided at the beginning of the experiment. And However, we have replaced the HG2+ with NA+. And to determine what will happen when it's not there. What we have is we have no reaction. And that's one of two possible outcomes. Either we're going to get the same reaction, hopefully, or no reaction. And since we have no reaction, now we know that without the mercury 2+, we will not get precipitate. Or another way of saying, responding to this replace the mercury with copper. And what we get, just let's stand there, that's fine. What you get is this slow reaction. You get this murky, muddy, looking stuff that looks quite different than our beautiful orange precipitate here. So what we've done by replacing the mercury ion with copper ion is simply put in a species that's producing all kinds of other reactions. Okay? What we have to see is either no reaction or the same orange color precipitate. Students mess this up on exams all the time. And if it happens in the lab when you're running mercury blank tests, all kinds of reactions, you've got to see no reaction or the same outcome of the initial reaction that you are studying. You will see on your handout of question 2. You should try that on your own. It involves false reference blending tests. Try it on your own. And then, when you're ready, go up to the web. You can have one on our site. Go on to the lecture handout, and you'll find the key to the question 2 posted when you check your meeting. And that question is from Older Man. Furthermore, when you're analyzing these reactions, you can compare the properties of the precipitate with samples of known identity to determine what the precipitate is, to verify what it is. One of the things that is very useful, you will find in our instrument room and sometimes in the lab, a CRC handbook. Lots of handbooks where you look up the physical constants of inorganic compounds, all the salts are inorganic compounds. You will find an alphabetical listing. For example, this is a listing for mercury compounds, starting with where the anion is with F. And here's an iodide, right here. Put a Q, that means surrounded by water molecules. plus Cl minus a cubed surrounded by water molecules. That surrounding of the ion by the water molecules also is specifically called hydration. So it's the binding of a species to one or more water molecules and is signified by brackets AQ. Very important concept. I think we know it, but maybe not in the whole context of chemistry. Dissolving is the opposite of precipitation. Okay, the salt can go into solution and dissolve, but it can also come out of solution and precipitate. Because that is a two-way street, it is called an equilibrium process. Really important. This is so important, but I can't emphasize it enough. So precipitation is an equilibrium system. You go either way. Notice here we have equal. It can go either into solution or out of solution as a solid. And it seems to make a lot of sense, doesn't it, that if something is not very soluble, it precipitates quite readily. Okay. If something does not precipitate very readily, it must be highly soluble. So the point of the equilibrium varies for different substances because their solubility varies. Okay. Now, if you look at this model, this is the question you're asked before you do part you're going to do this two rocks together. You're going to look at the rocks and see where your hand is going to take and what if they're colored or not. And you're going to put your results into the computer, and voila. When you put your results into the computer's going to spit out a great big piece of data with lots of numbers on how many precipitates were observed and whether they were colored. This is a year old. Yours is going to have different results. And that's where we're going to begin. What is the need? Good luck.